And then about 5 years ago, I really started narrowing it down. But the second book I wrote was called The Tribulation Triad. And people would ask me, it was published by two different publishers. And a lot of people ask me, they say, why did you call that 777? I said, because it's seven trumpets, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. And they said, so you just named it after them? I said, no, I said, they're not going to occur like a lot of people think. I'm from the real old school on it. And when they started shifting prophecy around in the evangelical movement and the Great Awakening after 1740, they had to change a lot of other things to match what they were changing it to. Well, I'm going to try to make a long story short, which is hard for me, but I will. One of the things they changed, the rapture, up until 1740, everybody believed it was going to be the last trump in a series of seven, the seventh trumpet. You couldn't find anybody before 1740, and I've offered $500 to anybody that could find somebody. They just didn't do it. So then I began to find some people way back there that believed the seven trumpets, it wasn't like the seven trumpets occurred here. I'm sorry. If the seven seals occurred here, then after they were finished, wham, along came the seven trumpets. Then after they were finished, along came the seven vials. But they were all interconnected. Well, I'm a synoptic analyst. That was my profession. So I thought, surely somebody has noticed this before. And I started going back and looking, and I went to Dr. Owen, who was the head of the seminary at that time, and I asked him about it. He said, yeah, that used to be taught. He said, I said, well, what do you think of it? He said, well, he said, you know, he said, they do all seem to match up. And we had a long discussion on why, and I had already found all the things that matched up. So I put in my second book how they all matched up. I laid it in there pictorially. Put diagrams, illustrations in there. I guess it was about 6 months ago that I reminded people of that. May have been a little earlier than that. And I told people, now is when the fifth seal is supposed to match up with the fifth trumpet. And I had an occurring slant where mathematically they all fit together perfectly, and diagonally they all fit together perfectly. And I said, I told you about 6 months ago, I said, we are in the beginning of sorrows. Matter of fact, I proved that we were in the beginning of sorrows ever since World War II ended, long, long time ago when I first came up here. But I said, I tell you what, I'm telling you right now, we're in the fifth seal. And anybody have to be crazy to believe that. And I told people what was going to happen. I said, you're going to see the Arab intensity increase in viciousness. I told you the Antichrist was going to come after the ten horns. And I told you there were a lot of strange things that were going to be happening during that next 6 months. Well, you've seen it. So what was the fifth seal? It was a seal where the martyrs that had their blood shed and their life taken, and they were all around the throne in heaven, and they were crying out to God, how long, O Lord, how long? He told them, you're going to have to wait a little season till your fellow brethren on the earth are killed as you were. Read it for yourself. Well, it's happening. And for the last 6 months, it's been increasing in intensity. And it's going to increase in intensity. And then about 2 months ago, I told you this. I had waited for years to try and be able to come close to when Israel attacked Syria. Syria was the king of the north, and Israel is the king of the south. That is now shaping up. And there are going to be about 5 or 6 Arab tribes unite down to the south of Israel in a protective mode to protect them from the king of Syria, where the Antichrist is going to arise. Now, the Antichrist is not going to pop up in Syria this year. And the Antichrist is not going to come along after Obama leaves until the very last week of the administration that follows him. In other words, all these people now that are fighting for the presidency, quite a ripe bunch, somebody's got to end up as president some way, somehow. At the end of that administration, a 4-year administration, at the end of that, I expect the Antichrist to have risen. It's not Bashar Assad. It's not anybody you can identify now. But he will arise. And when he arises, Israel will attack him during the end of the next administration. So how much time does that leave us? Well, we've got the rest of this year before Israel attacks Syria. Then we've got the next 4, boom, 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 boom. That's about 4.5 years. I can't tell you the day, I can't tell you the week, and I can't tell you the month, and I can't tell you the year. But I can tell you that during the last part of the next administration, good old Israel, our ally, and I love Israel, I'm a strong Israel supporter, is going to get tired of all this malarkey. And they are going to attack across the northern border against Lebanon and Syria. And when that happens, the last 1,335 days, the tribulation period will begin. That's all I can tell you. But you see, well, you say, well, Brother McElmurray, aren't you getting out on a limb? I don't think so. I've held off from all these years just to wait and see when is he going to get down to the point where I know Israel is going to attack and I know that Israel will be repelled. I wrote I don't know how many blogs telling people every time Israel's attacked them about 7 or 8 times, and every time I'd tell them, no, this is not it. This is not the attack, because I knew that certain other things had to happen first. They have happened and are happening. And I figure we've got about 5 more years before Israel attacks across her northern border into Lebanon and Syria. You can go back and check my blogs. You'll find I provided a lot of details. But from here on out, what I'm going to do, I'll tell you as things pop up. But there's some things I want to kind of get settled. And then I'm going to start on something that will have a general idea of what's going on in heaven and here on the earth and in the heavenlies. What's going on in the real world? What's going on in the world of the spiritual world? I'm going to try to do that from now on until I die. Or the time comes when he comes again. And I feel very confident on what I'm telling you. Now, one of the things, I think it's good to present things before you die, at least I think it is, because I've thought a lot about it, not that God wouldn't reveal it to you, but that this is something poor old Charlie Holloman has gone crazy with, and I'd like to present it to you and kind of tell you why I've kind of kept away from this. I've told you bits and pieces of this, but we're going to talk about the tree of life, the book of life, and the Lamb's book of the life. We're going to try and follow context. I've looked up all the words in here, at least all the adverbs and adjectives, and predicates, subjects, and pronouns. I've even looked up a few linking verbs. In Revelation 21, 22 to 29, "And I saw no temple area." Well, where are we? Where's he at? He's in the final heaven kingdom, where the New Jerusalem is. And the New Jerusalem, one side of it would stretch from that door over to that wall. But the distance from that door to that wall is the same smaller scale of the distance from San Diego to Memphis. And so, can you picture a side of a city that would go from here, would go from San Diego, California, to Memphis, Tennessee? It's a big place. It's a square, and the majority of preachers believe it's just a cube. I don't. Doesn't matter. Don't amen that stuff, Kenneth. I'm not sure of it. Till you get a vision. If you get a vision, don't tell me, because I'll have to do something. Well, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Now, we've gone through so much scripture, I'm embarrassed to even go through it again. But the God Almighty and the Lamb are the same. They are one and the same. Both of them, the Alpha and Omega. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the role of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, as God. And God Himself fulfilled the role of God Almighty by sending Christ. And in the end, the Holy Spirit, His office was fulfilled by the resurrected Jesus Christ. So, what's important in this verse, I've taught that other stuff so long, I'm not going to run you down with it again, are the temple of it. So there is no temple in the final heaven kingdom. Now, there is still a temple in the millennial reign. You say, well, when's that coming? In about, I would guesstimate around 6 years, maybe longer. Now, we've got to have a war that begins when the Syrian Antichrist reacts to an Israeli attack against him, and he counterattacks and drives Israel into the Negev and keeps her there for 1,260 months. You've all seen that diagram over and over and over and over again. Well, you're about to see them make the run in about 4 years, thereabouts. And then you got another 1,335 days after that. Well, I don't want to go into all that, because that'll probably just confuse you. But there'll be no temple in that heavenly city, but in the millennial reign there will be. In the millennial reign, you'll rule and reign with Him. What He gives you to do is going to be in proportion to how much of your life you submitted to Him. That's fair. Matter of fact, it's grace. It's more than fair. You've heard all this, you've seen all this, and you're either going to believe that what God says is true, or you're going to believe, well, I'm saved and I believe that, but this other I don't know about. Why not? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of the Lord did, God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the Lamb and Almighty God are one and the same. And Isaiah made it so clean and made it so purposeful in what he said and so much to the point that there's no argument to this. For unto us, a child is born. And his name shall be called Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, Counselor, Comforter, the Everlasting Father. So, you see, when he puts this in here and says the glory of God did lighten it and the Lamb is the light thereof, he's just saying one God lights the whole place. There aren't two of them. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, why on earth would he put them walking, these nations walking in the light of it? Did he mean that, we remember those old shades we used to have, we pulled down when it got dark so they couldn't see the coal oil lamp inside and couldn't see our bodies in there? You think that thing's going to have shades that pulls down? No, he's not going to have shades to pull down. The light from a city, and listen, incidentally, you want to know how tall it is? I believe it's a pyramid. And the actual, it will be as long as from San Diego, California, all the way over to Memphis, Tennessee, straight up. So I don't mind whether it's square or whether it's a pyramid, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a pyramid. But I do know that it's going to have glory and honor. Now look at this here. I didn't realize when God put me in all this in the National Security Agency why I was there. Because I never had any intention of being a synoptic analyst or a professional meteorologist or a geologist. I never had any intention. I wanted to grow up, and I wanted to work in a Kroger store, be a manager of a Kroger store, and raise my family as a manager of a Kroger store. I never had any greater ambition than that. That's what my father did. That's what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to do that rather than get out and chop cotton. And I didn't want to get out and have to work in the field because I don't like to sweat, because you stink when you sweat. And the kings of the earth and the nations of the earth which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Why couldn't he have just said all shall walk in the light of it? Well, they really do. But the light, the wall is about up to that top of that actual petition there. And think of how much of it is all the way up in the air. That'll lighten up the whole planet. Light bends. It's a curve. They don't know whether it's they should never have determined whether it's a curve or a particle. But they know it reacts to both laws that apply those two things. And it curls all around the earth. You ever get on a plane? When it was clear, take off from California, start back for Dardanelle. Look at your watch and you still got light up there. You look down on the ground, it's dark. You say, next time I'm going to see when that dark line appeared down there. So next time you look, you say, good grief, it stays dark up here for a long time after we took up. God's not going to change his laws. He's not going to reverse them. That's how at midnight it shall be. It shall be at midnight. It shall be light, and at noontime, it shall be light. The light bends all the way around the earth. In some places it's darker, in some places it's light. Light is the darkness is the absence of light. He says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. If they're not on the earth, these kings, if they don't live on the earth, why does it call them the kings of the earth? People try to put them inside the city. It doesn't matter to me. Man, I'd like to be a king of the earth. I don't care where I live, but not for the power's sake, but I'd have a job all the time. And I'd be serving God. And if God put me there, I'd be tickled to death. Because I've become convinced he's the only one who knows what he's doing. And if that's where he put me, that's where I'd want to be. And the earth do bring their glory, and the kings that do bring their glory into it. Now look here, look at this. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Wait a minute here. You mean you're going to have gates that are open all the time? Well, why can't those people outside just walk in? Because right here in the last three chapters of Revelation, it tells you there will be an angel at every gate. Will the same one stay there for all eternity? No, I don't think so. I think they'll probably change shifts. I don't know that. Doesn't say. But let's think about that. Bobby, I bet there's angels that know everything you've ever done in your life. Yeah, I grit my teeth too. Every time I think about that, I grit my teeth. You say, oh, no. Well, they're out here right now. They're not blind. They knew everything I did as a boy. And it says they look upon us with great curiosity. Now, they can't read your mind. But they can observe your conduct. And I think that angel at every gate has a purpose. I think that just to make sure nobody comes in there that hasn't been placed in there by the King himself, who is Christ, as the King of Kings. Otherwise, why would he mention the anyway, it would be shut. But why would he tell you there's going to be an angel at every gate? And they shall bring the honor and glory of the nations into it. In other words, God will receive glory outside the gates. He will receive glory there. He will receive glory all over the new heaven and all over the new earth. The glory of God himself will be inside the gate, and that's where I want to be. And there shall in no wise enter anything into anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Well, that's a little scary, isn't it? I've made a lie. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. She said, no, I don't think I ever have done anything wrong. So you say, well, that's not what that means. Yes, it is. It means just what it says are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life appears in the Bible, and so does the Book of Life, and so does the Tree of Life. I will show you tonight what I think about it, not what I know about it. I do know that angels know all kind of things about me. But I know that angels also know when I went to God and asked for forgiveness, when I did the right thing afterwards. They saw it. You think you're too old to have a guardian angel? I'm not so sure. Some people like me never grow up, and maybe God just leaves one with me all the time. But whatever God does, I like. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Jesus is the water of life. He is the tree of life. He is the Lamb of God. clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There aren't three different gods in heaven where you'll see them all three running around. There'll just be one, and he'll be all three. I don't expect to see three. If I see three, I'll say, I was wrong. But I prayed a long time before I ever taught this years ago. In the midst of the street of it, and on one side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. That's to let us know, us humans down here. He taught in parables. He also puts things in a symbolic phase, and they're sort of parabolic. He wants them to know that there are 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. There were 12 different fruits. In other words, you say, well, I thought time had ended. Time as we know it has. But God lets us know this in the time so we can have a better understanding of it. It yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the fruit were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Incidentally, this is spiritual fruit. It's not sour. And yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Well, I wonder what the people that live in the city, I wonder what they are. Well, this tree of life produces continuous fruit. If there were time, as we know it, this would mean every day, forever and ever and ever and ever, plus and ever. Like when they sentence somebody to prison, they say, life imprisonment plus one day, or plus one what? I don't know. I don't understand all that stuff. He said, and yielded her fruit every month, constantly, constantly, constantly. Now, what about these servants that shall serve him? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I think that's the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what I think that is. For we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Now, when I was a young man, I read so many commentaries on this, I got parable sick. And the truth of the matter is, I kind of like the old song, Won't It Be Wonderful, Wonderful There. I like that old song. If you want to know what I think about that, I think that's wonderful there. And if I'm wrong, it'll be better than I think. But they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Well, his name is Jehovah in the Old Testament. And it's I can't think of it, in the New Testament. So I'm just going to, if you figure that out, well, let me know what it is. These sayings, then they shall reign forever and ever. When we come back after we're judged in heaven, we're going to be caught in that state forever. But A.J. Kirtland, who is a lot smarter than I am, and who Ray Brooks thought knew everything, and I admired A.J. quite a bit, he thought that those leaves up there that fell off the tree they fell into the river of life, which comes out of the throne. Here's the tree of life. And they went outside. I think that those who serve God and can see his face and are that close to it, I think they're the leaves. And I think that they will be used to teach the people outside. And A.J. thought that they would be taught until they would be allowed to enter into the city. Now, that's a lot of supposition. And I'm telling you it's supposition. But I've lived for a while. That's the conclusion I've come to, but I'm prepared to change it. I believe that's what it means. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them life, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto you his servants the things which must shortly be done. I know preachers that have taught the Lord God of the holy prophets they swear up and down that's God the Father. Well, I will admit it certainly. I admit you could certainly use that. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And John saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for and of thy servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So who is that? Well, Are we servants of God? Yes. Is Archangel Michael a servant of God? Yes. I think this is probably the Archangel Michael, who God often used as a personal representative of him that he sent to the earth with a special order that required great strength. And God made Michael to be stronger than any other angel, including Satan. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophets in this book, for the time is yet in hand. I've taught this many times. I discovered this after I came up here. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He which is righteous, let him be righteous still. He which is holy, let him be holy still. He says, you're going to be caught in whatever state you're in, child of God. This is written to a church. This is not written to just some guy that just got saved out on the street. But he would fit in the James category. But this is written to churches. This one is written to the churches, and we ought to heed it. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And then he tells him why. Because, behold, and behold, I am come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, here's why I know Jesus is God. Here's why I know he's God Almighty. Here's how I know he's the everlasting Father. Here's how I know everything Isaiah said he was. It's true. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, he gonna come quickly. Everywhere I went, over 700 missionary Baptist churches and seminaries, everywhere I went in the last 5-6 years I was doing those lectures, they said, Brother Michael Murray, Lord have mercy, all my faithful ones are going. I said, well, it's got to get that way. And at that time, we were doing pretty good. And my carnal nature said, it's just because you're a better preacher. And I said, no, that ain't, there's something more here than you think. And so I watched that. Go around to all the churches. See how many people have quit coming. If you are, or if you offer enough programs, if you offer enough good time for kids, and I'm not against that. Just don't overdo it and live a Christian life before them, and it'll work out. He then said, he that is unjust may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. So, well, now wait a minute. He says, they that do his commandments. Wait a minute here. Who was it that said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you? For by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Well, there it is. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You notice he didn't bother to put God the Father in there. And you notice that this here, he's talking to the church at Laodicea. Well, he's talking to all of them in this one. Do you wonder maybe if that he's talking about what he said to him just before he was arrested in John? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. I think he's talking about that commandment. You say, no, you got it. Wait. No. You forgot this one. Why did the Lord send John the Baptist? He sent them to get them to see what terrible sinners they were. And why in the world how in the world did he lead them to repentance? Why did God put the law down here? Very plain, so men and women could see how sinful they were, and it would drive them to repentance. So, you see, yeah, but that's what they thought in the Old Testament too. You know, if I'm not good to my mother, well, I can't live in a city. And well, yeah, that may be true, but I guarantee you, if you do his command, that commandment, and you love those in the church, just like he first loved you, and you're a disciple, I ain't worried about the rooftop. I ain't worried that you're going to fall off there and overstep and die. I'm not worried that you're going to get drunk and have a heart attack. Because that's what happens to you. You wake up one day and you realize, there but for the grace of God go I. You realize it. And you say, the Lord has been trying to teach me to keep his commandments. And if you love the people in the church, that is his body, and you pray for them, and you love them, and you follow him, they're following him, and you follow him as disciples in a church, I don't worry about you keeping the Ten Commandments. Oh, you say, well, if I'm doing wrong, well, you'll tell me, won't you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will. But I won't tell everybody in the church. I'll just slip around and mention it to you. And I'll do it in a nice way. I won't even hurt your feelings. But you will understand what I'm doing. And that's what a church is supposed to be out, all about. So he says, for I testify, well, let's go on down here. I am the root. That's just sinus drainage. And offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Bride's making herself ready. She's submitting her will to the Lord. We all need to submit our will to the Lord. And that is a process that is long-suffering. And it is a process that is easy to stop. But it's true. Come, and let him hear that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you that every man that heareth the words of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him. He shall take, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Then out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Put the holy city in there too, didn't he? I have kept on the King James translation all my life. And on this one place here, there are three other translations older than the King Testament, or older than the King James translation. You're going to have to make up your own mind on this. And these other three translations are the Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Alexandrinus and Codex Alexandrinus. They all three have that as the book as the tree of life. And there's another disturbing part about this. There is also one that has it as the tree, as the book of life of the Lamb. That's all I can tell you. Pretty bad warning down here if you take away and add to this, do anything to it. But I would have to put all three of them together, and I would have to say that when he says God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, I've looked at that, and you see, I was taught to interpret in context. I was taught that in the seminary. And I am an interpreter, and I am. So I want to look at this in such a way that I don't violate His word. God can take away His part out of the book of life and of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What do those leaves go out for? Now, Brother Kirtland didn't teach me this. What do those leaves go out for? To teach them the things they should have learned while they were down here and weren't interested in doing it. That's what I believe that means. I think that, and that's why I believe what A.J. Kirtland taught. And Brother Brooks showed me that, but he didn't show me this. And I have struggled with this for years. So I don't think the Lord's going to be too hard on me if I'm wrong, because I really think that's what it means. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There are going to be a lot of people living outside that city that are going to be a lot like Gomer Pyle. Holy. And I think that they're going to have to learn. And when the kings of the earth, they have kings out there, bring the glory of God in, it will be the ones growing outside spiritually. They're not sinful, but they were in life. This is the way they were in life. And that's what I think it means. But I wanted to teach that tonight. Look, folks, we don't have long. I'm not kidding with you. I just, for a long time here, I'd kid and laugh and joke about the different things, and because I always knew it was a long way off. And during the seven times that Israel was pushed, went up there and ran them, I told them before we went up there, I said, if they go up there, they're going to run all over them. But I said, then they'll come back home, the Israelis. They did. Not this next time. And God's going to protect us.
You know, when it says there, John, take his part out of the book of life, you know he's not talking about taking churches outside, the reward is getting into.
I never realized how little of my will I had submitted to God. I never realized. But this last 5 years here, I've come to realize that. I never thought I could love people. I thought I was so mean and snarly and rotten and that I never would be able to. But I do.